إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek Allah's guidance, and we ask Allah's forgiveness, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah allows to go astray, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. We ask Allah to exalt his mention and to grant him peace and send his blessings upon him and upon his wives and companions and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. All you who have believed, be mindful of Allah and say that which is straight and correct. Allah will rectify your affairs and deeds for you and will forgive you your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has truly attained the ultimate success. Brothers in Islam, nowadays, one of the common issues that we face on daily basis is when people who lack the expertise in a particular field or science speak about it. The good intentions are always appreciated. However, if the world were to function in this manner, then this world will not be able to survive. We will not be able to survive on the surface of the earth if people who are not specialized in something were the ones who are leading the masses and educating the masses and guiding the masses, or better yet, misguiding the masses. You can't have a doctor discuss the issues of fire and firefighting because that's not his field of expertise. And you can't have a plumber tell you how to do a surgery, open heart surgery, because that's not his field. And if he were to do so, then we would have hundreds of thousands of victims, because the plumber does not know anything about medicine. And I'm not insinuating that a doctor is better than a plumber, because in Islam it's all the same. It's whoever has more righteousness that makes him better. As for his profession and job, Allah gives this dunya to everybody. This worldly life, Allah gives it to anyone. Look at the most wicked people on earth. They have the most worldly material. But in the sight of Allah, they are the worst, with the most severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. But today, they get it. However, this faith, this piety, this righteousness, this religion is only given to the elite, to those whom Allah intends goodness for, and we ask Allah to make us among them. We cannot afford to have people that are not specialized in a science speak about it. If we were to do so, we will have a disaster. And some may think that the worldly example I gave is more severe than the religious one, and it's the other way around. Even if a doctor were to speak about a science that is not specialized in, or a plumber were to speak about the medicine which is not specialized in, that is not as severe as when someone speaks about the religion and he's not in a position to be speaking about the religion. Because that now will destroy, will affect the faith and the belief system and the creed of the people, and that is the key to paradise. A plumber may pass a wrong judgment and cause a patient to die because he has a fake degree as a doctor, but that person who died may go to Jannah. He may go to Jannah. His share of the worldly life has come to an end. But the life to come, he might have his things correct. But if we go out of this world without the proper belief, then there's nothing to fix afterwards. This is why we have to be very careful when it comes to the matters of the deen. I am not discouraging anyone from giving dawah, so we won't confuse two different subject matters. The engaging with the non-Muslims to bring them to Islam as per your ability is obligatory in each and every one of us as per his ability. And that does not require a scholar or an alim of the highest degree to be able to tell someone about La ilaha illallah. But once we enter into the realm of Islam and the teachings of Islam, then we have to understand things in the proper context. This is where one of us has to say, this is not my field. It is something that I don't know about, therefore I will remain silent. And there's no shame in that. No shame in that. You don't know about zakat calculation? Don't be talking about it. You don't know about mawarith, the inheritance and the law of inheritance, which is a sophisticated science in Islam? Don't speak about it. And the list goes on. Why am I discussing this with you today? Because we're living in a time where we have so many groups and blogs and forums and websites and applications on our phones where every Tom, Dick and Harry has something to say. You make one post on WhatsApp and you have 10, 20, 30 people telling you yes, no, right, wrong. No, you should do this, you shouldn't do this. However, this is a matter of the deen, ya akhi. On what basis are you speaking about this issue? On what basis are you highlighting something that you may not be experienced in? And if we were to do this or continue to do this, we will have a calamity befall us. And we're seeing this sprout already. One of these issues of concern is when it comes to being selective as to who to listen to. Today, you open up this YouTube channel and you have as much as you want. Just type English lectures and you will get literally thousands of people speaking about Islam. And one has the right to be confused. Who are these people? And who can I listen to? And who can I not listen to? And how am I supposed to acquire this religion? I don't have means to sit with the scholars. I don't speak Arabic. Therefore, the only window I have for knowledge is this YouTube. Because it comes to my house. I don't have to go anywhere. And now we have three positions in regards to public speakers. Those that you see on YouTube. One extreme is, listen to anything you like and everyone you like, it's all good. As long as he's saying, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah, you are good to go, my brother. And this is the worst nasiha you can give a fellow Muslim. Specifically a new Muslim, who is still fresh. He has a clean slate, which we need to fill with the proper instructions and information so that he progresses in this religion.
If we start him off on the wrong foot, then he may never come back. And this is happening specifically in the Philippines, where many of the Balik Muslims or Balik Islam or those who come to Islam are immediately picked up by the Shia. The Shia wolves, hunting for the sheep. And as soon as they catch him, they convert him to Shiaism, and he has just gone from one form of Christianity to another form of Christianity. However, they call it Shiaism and Islam. And by Allah, it is not Islam. Instead of worshipping Jesus, now he worships Ali and Hassan and Hussein and Fatima. The same old tune. So we have to be careful that one extreme of listening to everyone is not plausible, not feasible. We wish it were the case. Wallahi. Don't you think each and every Muslim wishes the best for his fellow Muslims? Don't you wish everyone was rightly guided so that you can listen freely and benefit from all? We wish it were the case. But it is not the case. And we learn from Islam that the majority are often astray. And the minority are the ones who are guided. This is a very important principle to understand as well. Because some people say, well, you know, these are the masses, these are the majority, therefore they are correct. Wrong. You must not have read the book of Allah. Surely you must not have read the book of Allah. Nor have come across a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to make such an allegation. How would you understand the statement of Allah, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ? Only a minority among my slaves are actually thankful. That's Allah saying, قَلِيل. Ask any Arab what does قَلِيل mean. كَثِير, قَلِيل. We even know them in the broken Arabic we speak. It's little. Small number. And Allah further said, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to obey the majority of people upon earth, they will surely misguide you from the path of Allah. And how many people were with Nuh when Nuh went against his people? A minority of people believed in Noah and his message. And a minority of people believed in Ibrahim. And a minority of people believed in the prophets and the messengers. Two exceptions to the rule, Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the most followers. Otherwise, even messengers from among those of the strong determination had a very small number of followers. The rest of their people were astray. So don't be fooled by the numbers. The fact that one of them has 10 million followers does not put them on the path of righteousness in any way, shape or form. It is not about that. So my brother in Islam, you can't listen to everyone. And it is not wise or even practical to tell you from the minbar who to listen and who not to listen to. But if you're keen, we can discuss this at a later stage. Inshallah. In the meantime, by default, before you listen to someone, he has to pass certain tests. The belief system of this person has to be clear like the sun. No ambiguity. No hiding things conveniently that we don't share with the people so we can fool them at some point after we trap them into our playground, then we start chopping necks as some of them do today. Can't do it like this. And the manhaj has to be also correct. The manhaj is the most critical thing after aqidah. The methodology of this person. Today, my brothers in Islam, and you all know this, we have so many types of Islam, and so many denominations within Islam, and so many groups in Islam, that a person can easily get lost. There's a special brand of Islam in Pakistan. And within Pakistan, there are different breakdowns and branches of this one denomination who eventually go against the other one. And the same goes in India, and in Egypt, and in Syria, and in Lebanon, and all over the Muslim world. All over the Muslim world. I'm not going to mention any names, don't worry about it. So what? Where do you go? The methodology is what parts us. If that person is learning and teaching Islam, as per the way of the Sahaba, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of Allah's Messenger, and the generation that came after them, and then that generation that came after those who came after them, then this person is upon the right path. And that is not merely a claim, because Allah will make that claim. We have to verify that what they're saying is according to the way of the Sahaba. Some people will tell you, come, let's go for 40 days, or let's go for 3 days, or let's go for 4 months. The Sahaba went all over the world giving da'wah. Say, okay, that's a nice one. That's a nice one. Now where did this 40 days come from? Why the 40? Why? And did they do it in the manner in which we do it today? Did they leave someone in the masjid to make dua for the tawfiq from Allah while the rest of them went out for their khuruj? And the list goes on. You will find that they got one fact from the Sahaba, added a bunch of additions conveniently, and then they said, we're following the way of the Sahaba. Nobody. It doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. Where if you don't go for 3 days once in your life, you're a criminal. At some point in time, you're not really in for this deen. We don't have such an obligation in Islam, such restriction in Islam upon the people. You give da'wah whenever you want, however you want, as many days as you want. You don't go leave your family behind, struggling, and you go travel to some foreign country that you don't know about, you don't know their situation, you don't even speak the same language, and try to make things happen. It's all not from the sunnah. I'm giving you examples so we can be clear cut and blunt about this issue. So that's not enough. The methodology has to be verified by reality, not by merely making a claim. The second extreme is you cannot listen to anyone except 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 maximum usually. And these 5 have also a history. They also come from these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scholars. That's it. Anything outside of the circle, even if they are equal in aqidah and manhaj, no. They cannot be guided. They are definitely misguided. Why? Well, the sheikh, they don't like the sheikh. And if you don't make bay'ah with the sheikh, then you're really not really upon the way. This is another extreme. If you were to go on that way, you would basically be listening to yourself most of the time. Because the options are very limited. And had that extreme maintained some sort of balance, so that when you learn you actually benefit, it would have been great. But you will find that all you'll be learning about is the mistakes of others, and the faults of others, and the misguidance of others. So your heart condition, your rectification of the heart, and your progress towards Allah will be halted drastically. In fact, you may barely make a step forward. Because now all you worry about is all other things that are distracting. And that second extreme is better than the first one. But it's not as good. Where we all need to be is right in the middle. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Such we have made you a middle type of nation, a balanced nation. And this is why Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the balanced group among all these extremists in this deen. They don't go to either extreme. So we say that there are many people that are upon the Sunnah, that are propagating the Sunnah. All of them have some mistake. All of them must have some mistake. Perfection belongs to Allah. No human being is perfect. If it is debatable regarding the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, let alone a regular human being for 1400 years later. So we say that the good is there, walillahi alhamd. It is not restricted with 5 scholars and their students, nor is it broad so that everyone is upon it. There is a middle path. And that path is the one we have to tread. Without it, we will fall into the traps of the shaitan. And I will explain exactly why inshaAllah in the second part of the khutbah with some more elaboration. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد,
that path is the one which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke about when he said to the Sahaba that verily the nations which preceded you, and he began with the Jews, they divided into 71 sects. And then the Christians divided themselves into 72 groups or sects or denominations. And then my ummah, this is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us, prophesying what's going to happen now, which we are seeing before our own eyes. This ummah will divide into even more denominations than the Jews and the Christians themselves. And he said, all of them will be in the fire. Meaning all of them will do the deeds that will entitle that person to enter the fire unless Allah wills otherwise. All of these 72 groups will be in the fire except one. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, out of concern and keenness on being among that group, they said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? Describe them for us. He said, whoever is upon what I am today and my companions, referring to them. That is the way. That is the way. And it is available, walillah alhamd. Whether you like it physically by attending, or you like to get it through the media, or however and whatever means, alhamdulillah, this sound knowledge has been carried on and brought to us all the way from the time of the Sahaba until today. The sound knowledge is available for those who care, for those who strive, for those who dedicate some time for that research. But if we're going to continue to be heedless and nonchalant, oh, I don't care, then this is how the shaitan will trap us. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, in another hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, he drew a line, a straight line in the sand with a stick he had, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said to the Sahaba, this is the path of Allah. And then he drew lines on each side, small shortcuts, both on the right and on the left. He said, these are other paths. And at the top of each one is a shaitan calling you to himself. Then he recited the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Verily, this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow other paths which will mislead you from my path. So it was laid out for us very clearly, my brothers in Islam. The way of the Sahaba is that straight path to Jannah. So when it comes to issues right now about people speaking about science or something that they are not in a position to do so, we have someone who tells you, Ya Akhi, Fulan is a public speaker and he has a lot of good to offer, and it is impossible that someone will be speaking in the name of Islam without anything good to offer, unless he's a shaitan. Even shaitan himself, he gave Abu Huraira right advice. He advised Abu Huraira to recite Ayat al-Kursi before he went to sleep. In the famous hadith, which I hope you know, I don't have time to explain it. But shaitan at some point in his life, he gave advice to the Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ regarding a sunnah which is confirmed now. And shaitan will be in the hellfire. Does that mean that you take shaitan as your teacher and instructor today? Absolutely not. Of course they have something good to offer, but they have something bad as well. So someone says, Ya Akhi, listen, I'll send you the balanced position. The balanced position is, you listen to this person, whatever good you take, whatever bad you leave. Sounds very nice and fair. Guess what? How do you know? You know, how do you know? How are you, as a regular person, still learning this deen? How, speaking about myself and you, how would we be able to differentiate the good from the bad? Do you think he's going to tell you, by the way, I'm about to mention something bad, so just ignore it? No, he's not. He's going to give you everything he has. And within his statements, within his ideology, within his actions, you will get poisoned, my brother. Thinking you're having a sweet cake, you will get the poison and spiritually die. So when someone says you listen, and then you scrutinize, and then you choose, this is impossible unless you are a student of knowledge and you're listening to a scholar. The people who have the right to do this, and it's the correct sub-nasiha for who? For a sheikh, alim, whether alive or dead. Someone says the book of Imam Ghazali. Imam Ghazali had calamities upon calamities in his books in Aqidah. However, he had some jewels. He had some jewels that you have to appreciate. Who has the right to read the book of Imam Ghazali? A student of knowledge. Who has already been grounded in knowledge. He has the foundations. He understands these matters. So when he reads the book of Ghazali, he knows that this is from the sunnah and this is from one of his bid'ah. So he takes the sunnah and he abandons the bid'ah. But you give the book of Imam Ghazali to a person who's learning the deen fresh, he will take everything Imam Ghazali has to offer. So my brother in faith, this applies to the student of knowledge with the alim. He has the ability to listen, take the benefit and ignore the bad. For the rest of us, we don't have this skill. We don't have the ability to hear this person on YouTube and be able to distinguish and differentiate between truth and falsehood. Therefore, you don't listen to begin with. Because surely, there's something positive. And surely, there's something evil. He may not want evil for you. We are not accusing any one of them of having evil intentions, deliberately trying to misguide the ummah. Na'udhu billah. We assume the best about every single Muslim who walks the face of this planet. We are sure they have nothing but good intention, but good intention doesn't cut it. And good intention is not enough. The bottom line is, because of their upbringing, because of their school of thought, because of their methodology, they will unintentionally lead you astray. So you have to be careful. So the advice is, yes, for those who have good and bad to offer, if you're a student of knowledge and you're able to make that distinction, go ahead and listen. If you're not, don't listen. That is the balanced position. And if you are not in this whole discussion, then refrain from telling the people to hear or not hear Fulan. If you're not involved in this, because this is not everyone's business. This is the business of those who are involved in this business. This is their job. Not necessarily job as in money. This is their field. Let them deal with it, ya akhi. You have a peace of mind. You get a message on WhatsApp and you don't know whether this message is good or not. Just simple. Don't send it. Don't send it. Because if you send it without being able to verify, then and you lead others astray, now you will have to answer Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah for just pressing forward on a message. But if you don't send it, you got nothing to lose. You say, but I missed out on an ajr. No, you did not. Allah will give you the ajr for being careful, for being cautious before you forward information. Allah will still give you the ajr for the niyyah. Allah will not take away anything that you deserve, don't worry. But you are exercising cautiousness in the way you communicate this deen to the people. So this whole forwarding business all day is something that we should stop altogether. And if there's a forum that is discussing Islamic matters and it's not your field of expertise, kindly do not type anything. Don't say, no, you don't have the right to say this about this person is good, blah, 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 because you don't know what you're talking about. You watch 3 videos, you thought you figured it out, and now you're telling the people how to do it. Wallahi, it's a very risky position to be in. I'm giving you sincere advice. Leave it for those who have to worry about it. You have a peace of mind, my brother. Let those who are involved in this field of expertise deal with it. You play the safe position. There's a beautiful Arabic idiom or proverb. As-salamatu la ya'diluha shay. Subhanallah, how beautiful it is. Safety, there's absolutely nothing equal to it. There's nothing better than being safe and secure. Once you put yourself on the line and you go into the risky situations, then you don't know what's going to happen next. If you remain far away, a fire is burning and three people go near the fire trying to do something. You want to play with fireworks. And one person says, you know, I don't know if this fire is going to just explode or it's going to get worse. I'm just going to stay 10 meters away. This person is the best one. Why? He's exercising safety. If the fire explodes, he was far away from it. If it didn't explode, still, he was far away from it. He had a peace of mind. With this understanding, we try to practice Islam. And with this understanding, I kindly advise myself and you to deal with the situations which are have become public. The matters of the deen, the matters of the teachers of Islam have become public. Everyone speaks about them whether they are entitled to do so or not. So don't fall into this trap, my brothers. Play it safe until you meet Allah. There is nothing better than avoiding the fitna and being on the straight path. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا عليم يا حكيم اللهم اغفر لنا وللمسلمين والمسلمات وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لوالدينا وارفع درجاتهم في المهديين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين وأوليائك المقربين هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد